Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome back to Mum's a Word, the parenting podcast. I'm Georgia Jones and I'm your host for this week. So this week, what's happened to me in the world of parenting? Well, and I'm not sure what you guys are going to think about this, me and Coops have come to a little arrangement because every now and again he helps me film my content and he loves it, he enjoys doing it. I decided that maybe it would be a good idea to start teaching him the ways of the world, how that when you work, you normally get paid. So I decided what I would do was whenever he helped me, I would give him a little bit of money to put in his piggy bank. Now, I think this is a really, really good idea, but I would be so, so interested to know your thoughts on this, whether you guys do anything similar or whether you think it's an absolutely terrible idea. I would love to know your thoughts, so give us a little message right in the comments below the reel of this episode and let me know what you think. So today's guest on Mum's the Word is Harriet Shearsmith. Harriet is a mum of three, a star on social media, the author of Mummin' It, and the host of her own podcast, Unfollowing Mum. Give it a listen. In the book, she celebrates the fact that we are human, that nobody gets it right first time, and shares parenting hacks for making a busy life easier every day. Her podcast often deals with hard-hitting issues, toxic family, and dysfunctional dynamics, talking to experts, but often drawing on her own life experiences. Harriet, welcome to Mum's the Word.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Lovely to have you on. Now, what people might not know is that me and Harriet actually went to school together.
We did. We've known each other for a very, very long time. I think, were you a year above me?
I was, yes. And it was so funny. I saw Harriet at an event. This was a good few years ago. I was like, oh my God, hi. I was like, we know each other. And she was like, yeah, we both do the same thing now.
We did. And it was, I can't even remember what event it was, but there's been a few since. And every time we're like, how's home? How's family? What's happened here? So yeah, it is.
Yeah. So Harriet still lives back in my hometown where my mum and dad still live. So it's really weird. I'm feeling like the Yorkshire vibes coming through the screen.
They're pulling you back.
They're pulling me back. It's really weird because Cooper's actually with my mum and dad at the moment in Yorkshire. He's like down the road from you right this second. How weird is that?
That is really bizarre. It will literally be round the corner from where I am. And yeah, it is. It's such a small world, though. You don't realise. I know everybody says that. It's so cliche. And you're like, it's a small world, but it really is.
It really is. So let's get on to you and talk about you and what you do and the incredible work you do in this industry. Because it's slightly different, actually, to what a lot of kind of mum parenting social media accounts do. And you talk about a lot of the hard hitting stuff actually with first hand experience, right? So kind of not having that relationship with parents. So you don't have one with your mum, do you?
No.
And you talk about toxic families, kind of dysfunctional families. And what I think is amazing of what you do is you make it all kind of okay and you kind of like make it understandable as well. Make it easy for people to understand why it might not necessarily be healthy to remain in a toxic
family relationship. So tell us a little bit about, you've got a podcast. Does your podcast focus on this quite a bit?
Yeah, so my podcast, Unfollowing Mum, is specifically for people who have experienced that childhood trauma or are perhaps experiencing estrangement, if that's something that's currently in their life, or if they're navigating toxic and dysfunctional family dynamics. Because the thing is, estrangement isn't necessarily going to be the answer for everybody. It isn't necessarily going to be a case of I'm cutting ties and that's what works for me. And I think that that has to be okay. But it's such a taboo topic that's so shrouded in so much shame and so much gaslighting from years and years of being in a dysfunctional family unit, where we don't talk about it. We don't acknowledge the impact that that has on us as parents and on how we want to be different. And even people who are in a great place now with their parents and whose parents have taken accountability and acknowledged, you know, I made mistakes, which we will all make, but I made big mistakes when you were a child and I want to repair our relationship. They still don't have that healthy blueprint of how do I now break the cycle? And this could be a cycle of trauma. It could be a cycle of, well, grandma did it and mum did it and great grandma did it and or dad did this and this happened. So it's really important that we open up the conversation around this. And that's what the podcast focuses on, and sharing those real life stories, because I think there's a lot. I'm a qualified coach and a trainee therapist. I think there's a lot out there from the professional point of view, which I can offer, but not so much from those personal lived experiences, because people don't really talk about it.
No, they don't. And I totally agree with you. Like I said to you earlier on before we started the show, you're one of the few people I see online actually talking about it. And it's, I think it carries a lot of weight as well because you have experiences of it. So it's not just you as a professional going, you know, these things can happen. You're like, this happened to me and I want to share this with you so I can help you guys if any of you are going through it. But what I'm really intrigued to know from you is, obviously growing up, you might not have been aware of it initially, because as a child, you don't realise things. We're not fully developed mentally yet, which is where a lot of the issues come from, because we are learning everything from all the outside world, which is predominantly parents and, you know, the people that are closest to us, the people that are the ones that should be nurturing and looking after us. So at what point did you have like your light bulb moment and go, my relationship with my mum isn't healthy?
When I had kids, and this is something that, yeah, when I had kids, and this is something that I experience across the board with people who have experienced either a toxic family dynamic with a parent, specifically if they were like me, who was very what we would call enmeshed, which is where if you'd have asked me 10 years ago, I'd have said my mum was my best friend.
Right.
You know, we had big girly days out together. We did everything together. And I think you might remember, you worked in a beautician's for a period of time.
Yeah.
And we used to come in and it would be me and mum having days together. But that was constant. I didn't actually, if I look back, have any friends. I had me and my mum. And that was very much by design of, I had this really enmeshed relationship with her that was very codependent, very, everything had to be done her way, which was really difficult to break out of. And so many people have this idea of, oh, we're just really close, but they don't really have their own identity outside of this. And that's when it becomes really problematic. So I started to notice that when I had my own kids, and I would reflect on things and think, that happened to me when I was a child, and I wouldn't do that to them. And that's one of the biggest questions. It's something that I say to clients and people that I speak to within the community all the time. If you look at your own child and you ask yourself, okay, what if it was them that was experiencing that? Does that feel acceptable? Does that feel bad? Does that feel like something you would want for them as a parent? And invariably the answer is no. God, that wasn't okay. And that's kind of when the light bulb moment comes on, is when you realize your own children, you wouldn't want them to go through that experience.
Yeah. And what were the kind of telltale signs that things weren't quite as a parenting relationship should be?
For me, it was very much when I started to branch away and get some of my own identity. So wanting to do things myself, wanting to question things that my mum would have, but could be her political beliefs, could be her behaviours, and wanting to actually pull away from that and have my own identity. So, for example, I never went to university because I couldn't possibly have left my mum on her own. That just wouldn't have been okay. That isn't normal.
No.
That isn't normal to create that level of codependency.
Did she put that on you?
I never moved away.
Did she say to you, oh, I don't want you to leave me? Like,
interestingly, it was never so much around university. It was much more subtle than that, which right. I think is where it can be quite difficult. But I remember when I wanted to move out of my family home, which I'm in right now. I bought that house and built an annex for my mum to live with us. So I remember when I wanted to move out of that and go and just, you know, go fly the nest, do my own thing, as is the norm. That's what we're preparing our children to do. That was, you can't leave me. Don't leave me on my own. And there was that real feeling of owing and having a debt to repay to my mum, which when you unpick it, we do quite often as society put that kind of, well, after everything I've done for you and be grateful to me when our children don't really owe us anything.
No. I remember it was my husband. You won't mind me saying this. I remember when he was having therapy about his dad who left. And a therapist had said to him, you didn't choose to be born. So don't let them put that on you. You weren't chose to be brought into this world and for them to be your parents. So they then can't make you feel guilty that they're looking after you. It is a parent's job to bring up their child and look after them and protect them from everything they need protecting from. But then they can't turn around and go, but I did this for you, so now you owe me.
Yeah, which is so common. And that's the thing, is there is a real kind of, especially within societies where we have a more collective attitude towards relationships, there's such a toxic mentality of you owe me because I did this. And when you really unpick it, what you're saying is you owe me for your very existence. And that just doesn't work. That's not a healthy dynamic. Our children don't owe us anything. They don't owe us a debt of gratitude. They don't owe us any kind of, they don't owe us a relationship. They don't owe us anything. We do owe them. And that's the difference. We chose to have them. We chose to keep them. We chose to raise them. So we do owe them those things, but they don't owe us. And that's the thing that's quite difficult to wrap your head around, especially if you've been in that toxic dynamic, is that it's not really a reciprocal relationship in the way that other relationships will be. It's the same as when we think about a best friend relationship, which is very much what I would have described my relationship with my mum as being. That's not healthy when you have a parent-child relationship, because the caring is not coming both ways. It's supposed to be you caring for, raising your child, doing these things for your child. And that doesn't mean that they can't say thank you for breakfast.
That's
not the same thing. Like, I'm not sat here saying your child doesn't have to say thank you when you put their shoes on and they're kicking up a foot. That's not the same thing.
No.
But that sense of owing and having a debt, that's really difficult to unpick. And that's something that is very toxic.
Yeah. I remember you talking about, like, you and your mum, like, were best friends. I remember when I was little, actually, and I didn't understand it at the time. My mum said to me, oh, I don't like it when mothers say that their daughters are their best friends. She was like, I love you, darling, and you are my world, but you are not my best friend because I am 40-something and you're 13. Like, you know, we're not best friends. We're mother and daughter. And I think it is quite important. Some people might disagree, actually, listening to this podcast, but I do think it's quite important to have those boundaries of your mother and daughter or mother and son, not best mates. Because it is very easy to then slip into, you are my only person in my life. And like you said, then don't have many friends because all your time is on your parent.
Yeah. And that's the thing here is, and people listening to it that maybe feel a bit confronted by that idea, if we look at parent-child dynamics and we look at best friend dynamics, they can be quite similar in the way that we look at them. But the big difference that you will notice, especially if you're somebody who does feel like, hey, well, no, my child is kind of my best friend. You know, we do everything together. We have this wonderful relationship. The question that you would then ask yourself is, do I lean on my child for emotional support? Do I lean on my child and talk to my child as I would a best friend about sex, relationships, money issues, problems that I'm having? They're things you would do with a best friend. But that in itself is problematic when you're doing it with a child. Actually, regardless of your child's age, it's problematic. It's what you would term parentification in the psychology world, when you're essentially placing your child in the role of being the parent, which happened to me an awful lot. I was very much my mum's therapist growing up. In fact, I was very much a stand-in spouse in a lot of senses of the word. And that became really traumatic for me. And it's something that we see very, very subtly across a lot of different dynamics, and often very unintentionally, but it is something to be aware of. Yeah, you can have a really close relationship, you know, going to the cinema, doing all the wonderful things, having the best time and having a really close bond, but you're not a best friend because you're not relying on that child to support you emotionally.
Well, that's a lot of pressure as well, isn't it, to put on a child, like a little child, regardless of age, really, to take on those responsibilities, because they are always going to be a lot younger than you because you are the parent. And for to put responsibilities like, you know, talking about relationships or money worries or things like that, to give that child all those worries at such like a vulnerable stage of their life is massive and really irresponsible as a parent.
It is. And I think sometimes people struggle with the thinking perhaps it's judgmental. And it's not a case of being judgmental. It's a case of looking at what is responsible and was not responsible. You can talk to your children about big topics, but it has to be in an age-appropriate way where you hold the responsibility. And that's where the difference lies. So, for example, I knew everything that happened with my parents' divorce from the age of four, everything. And I don't have many memories between the age of four and seven, which is a telltale sign of childhood trauma. I don't have many memories. I have many memories at all. I have really fragmented memories for that period. But what I do remember a lot from that period as I got a little bit older was big discussions surrounding divorce proceedings, big discussions surrounding what was going on. And not in a, okay, mummy and daddy are getting divorced, this is happening, you know, where you hold the space for your child, but keep them in the loop, as it were, so that you can keep them informed, because that's really important. Any therapist who talks to you going through a separation or a divorce will tell you that it's very important to talk to your child to keep them informed. What we slipped into was where I became the therapist, and I became the one who would hold her hand while she was crying about it, or who would listen to all of the how terrible daddy was and all the rest of it. And we can go down that route far deeper. There were lots of other things, but that's on my podcast.
Go over and listen to Harry's podcast about that.
That's a slightly different angle that maybe goes a bit deeper there. But the difference was, it wasn't about me understanding. It was about her needing care, which in and of itself is quite sad, but was also not my responsibility as a child.
No, and not that's the big all. Thing. And like things like that, goodness me, they can affect so much of you and like how you then project yourself onto other relationships, right? Because one of my best friends, she's going through, well, actually she's finally divorced, woohoo! And her little boy is the same age as Cooper. And it's Cooper's best friend. She's my best mate. And she has been incredible because I've said to her, I don't know how you can't paint the little boy's daddy in such an amazing light still, because she does, and she talks about him in such a lovely way. Even though he had an affair and left the family, she still won't ever let Jude know that there is any hatred there. You know, she will cry on her own or cry with me because I'm an adult and I can take that on. But she won't let Jude know. She will tell him, mummy and daddy just don't love each other anymore, and he loves somebody else, and that's okay. And mummy now loves somebody else, but we love you exactly the same. And as much as like the dad hasn't gone about things the right way at all and might not be parenting in that way, Rose is. And I'm like, well done you, because you are forming such a good, you know, future for your little boy, because you're not letting this affect him and his childhood.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's what's within the realm of our control and our responsibility. So in your friend's situation there, what dad chooses to do and how he chooses to behave is not something that she can control or what she's responsible for. And that is going to have an impact on how her son grows and on the way that he views the world. Absolutely, it will. And unfortunately, any separation will have an impact. But how we navigate talking about each other, how we navigate talking to our children about our separation, like you said, Rose doesn't put that on him, that it's his responsibility, because ultimately it's not. You know, adults make mistakes, adults get separated, adults are idiots at times. We all do it. But how we navigate that with our children is so important. And, you know, like you say, you can talk to a friend, you can talk to a therapist, you can talk to whoever else it needs to be, but it shouldn't be your child.
No.
Not in that context.
No. So when, you know, when you kind of had your light bulb moment and once you'd had children and you were like, this isn't a healthy mother-daughter relationship, how did you then navigate? Because I think this is something that's important for people that are listening that might be going, oh my God, this is me too, and don't know how to then deal with it. What did you do? Because it must have been so hard, you know, because ultimately it was your mum that you'd been best mates with for a long time.
Yeah, it was really difficult. And what I will say is from when I had my first child through to when I actually ended up cutting contact with my mum was a good, I would say, almost decade.
Wow.
It was a really long time of trying. And this is what I've experienced across the board with estrangement, is that it's been a continual attempt of, please, can you change your behavior here? Please, can we do things different here? Please, can you hear me? Can you validate me? Can you make changes so that we can have this relationship and I can be respected as an adult? And constant walls put up, constant, you're just being sensitive, you're just being dramatic. And that's eventually when an estrangement happens. And I will say, and I've said so many times, I went through a process of trying to pull away slowly from my mum. And eventually my solution was, if I build her an annex, she will no longer be living in the house with me. We might have a bit of distance. And it made things a million times worse, but I was trying to be, it made things so much worse. Former Harriet and me have got a lot of beef over the way that things happened.
I can see why you did it though.
In my head, that was me. My head, that was me being a good daughter, me being a loyal daughter. And I think if you have this notion of being a good son or daughter or a good loyal daughter, I'd really question that word loyal. I'd really start pulling up that notion of being loyal, because there's something under that that's not quite healthy. But to me, that was really like, I must be a good daughter and my mum's all on her own. She won't be able to do the things that she needs. She's told me this. I must be good. And so I built the annex and I bought the house and I did all these things. And eventually it got to a point where it was so toxic that we'd discussed prior to me buying the house and me building an annex, what would happen if we chose not to live together anymore. And so I asked her to leave and she said no. And that ensued then a legal battle, which was not what we'd agreed. But that was her way of really trying to dig in and keep contact and to keep control, really. Not so much contact, but to keep control, because she openly said she didn't want anything to do with me or my husband or two of our kids, but wanted contact with one and wanted to be able to stay in the family. Very bizarre behaviour. It was my eldest, but I noticed a lot of the behaviours that I experienced as a child were, and I hear this again a lot from people who I've spoken to either in a client capacity or within the community, the eldest child quite often gets similar treatment to what you got, almost like a do-over. Mm. And it's really bizarre behaviour, but it isn't uncommon.
Do you have an insatiable fascination with the paranormal? brace yourself, for the supernatural world is about to reveal all of its secrets on the Paranormal Activity Podcast. And who better to guide you through this hair-raising journey than myself, Yvette Fielding, renowned paranormal investigator. Every episode of Paranormal Activity takes you on an unforgettable adventure into the unknown. But that's not all. The true heart of this podcast lies in the stories, evidence, and questions shared by our devoted listeners. Will you dare to join me? Listen to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, wherever you get your podcasts from.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Your eldest son had obviously lived through part of you and your mum having a good relationship. So, well, what you thought was a good relationship. So maybe your mum actually thought, well, he might believe me. He might kind of go with what I'm going to say, because he's seen I'm a wonderful mum to my daughter, because we've had this relationship. So maybe that was like her way of thinking. Who knows?
It became really volatile and a really difficult situation to navigate, but one that we had to keep navigating with communication with him, with hearing him, with listening to what he was saying. And actually, funnily enough, as soon as my mum had moved out of our annex, he divulged a lot more information about the things that she would do, which were very similar to what I experienced as a child in terms of really bad-mouthing my partner, really bad-mouthing me, specifically to him. But I think that's what we would consider triangulation within the coaching and therapy world. So it's pitting one person against each other.
And so that they're the favourite? Is that it? Yeah, so that they're kind of the top dog? Wow.
It creates that triangle, doesn't it? You've got you who's at the top. These two points don't connect. They don't talk, but both points connect with you. So triangulation. And that's how that works. And it really creates that divide. And a lot of people that I speak to have experienced that very much with their siblings, in that they don't really know why they don't get on with their sibling, but they really don't get on with their sibling. And then when they look at it, they realize that there was always a big competition placed between them and their sibling, or they were put against each other a lot. And that's very common in these scenarios.
Oh, that's so interesting. Do you know, I love having people like you on the podcast, because I just find it so, so incredibly interesting listening to, you know, how people's brains actually work and how people can manipulate other people in situations. Like, thank goodness your son found you as a safe space and a safe person to open up to, because I imagine there's a lot of children that are going through similar things to what you've been through, but they don't feel like they can open up and they don't feel like they have a platform where they can be honest and talk. So well done you, Harriet, for bringing your boys and your daughter up to know that they can talk to you, and your husband, of course. So well done.
I think that is one of the most important things, is to create that safe space, so that he will quite often say, well, I don't want to say anything to mummy. So he also has his other grandparents that he can speak to. He's been made, and the other two have been made aware, that there are certain points at school where they can speak to people, you know, if they don't feel able. So creating those safe spaces with safe adults who can hold space for them is really important for your children.
So obviously it was, you know, a decade of like an estrangement process, you know, and police got involved and all sorts. So at what point did you go, the end, I don't ever want you in my life? Is that kind of how, where you're at now? Have you gone, you are gone?
Yeah, so that's where I'm at now. So I'd originally, when I'd asked my mum to move out the annex, in my naivety, I'd got it in my head that, you know, once we got some distance, we might be able to have what you'd term a low contact relationship, where we'd see each other every so often and I'd be able to do this. But quite often what people will find is that they're, especially when you have a very enmeshed family, is it's all or nothing thinking. It's you're either loyal to me and we're a unit and we do this everything together, or we don't have anything to do with each other. And putting those boundaries in place becomes really, really difficult. So after we'd asked mum to move out and we'd gone through the legal process, and all of this was done to make sure that mum was secure as well, so that she wasn't just turfed out, that she had security financially, that she had somewhere to go, all of these things, that was all taken care of.
So you were still thinking of her. You were still, even though, you know,
yeah,
you were still putting her, you know, not first, but yeah, you were putting her close second, if you were looking after her, yeah, still.
Trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And what we got to was a place where it was not safe for me to have contact,
right,
at all. So I think really after I'd asked her to leave, that was the point at which, when the pushback came, as opposed to what had been agreed when we'd signed contracts to make sure we were building an annex properly and all of the rest of it, what had been agreed when that went back on, that was the point at which I realised I'm never going to be able to have this relationship in any kind of healthy way. It's never going to be something that is safe for me, that's safe for my children. It's always going to be either this is, I'm in charge and I have control and I have dominance over this relationship and you do things my way and you're not respected as an adult with your own autonomy, or I'm going to have to say, we're not going to have contact. And that was how we got to that point. And I do speak to clients who have managed to maintain some kind of low contact relationship where they see each other on holidays. And everybody's idea of low contact as well is completely different, which I've always found really interesting. So for some people, low contact for them might be seeing family once a month and their kids going and seeing them once a week. For other people, it might be once every 5 years. It's so different depending on the dynamics that you grew up in. But how I reached that point where I just knew we were not going to be able to have a relationship at all was when there was that real pushback against any kind of boundaries that I tried to set.
Right, yeah, she just didn't want you to have any form of control whatsoever in the situation.
And no form of autonomy either. And I think that was no form of autonomy either. And I think that was really important.
What does that mean? What do you mean by that?
So just having a sense of self, being able to be in control of my own life, being able to have my own life as opposed to it being taken over by my mum, and still being that child really that's told what to do, what to think, what to feel. That's not a position that's healthy for any adult.
Did you find it hard kind of transitioning from, because obviously you were in such a toxic, quite dependent relationship with your mum, how did you navigate that huge life change?
Therapy.
Woo!
Big on the therapy.
Great. I love, yeah, that, Harriet. Like, more people online need to talk about how positive therapy is, because...
Oh, so positive.
It makes you realise things that you would never come to without a professional helping you. And yeah, you're a big advocate for therapy online, aren't you?
Yes, massively. And I think, you know, if it was accessible to everybody, I'd be saying to everybody, get into therapy. Even if you think, you know, I don't need therapy, there's nothing there. It doesn't have to be anything wrong for therapy. And I think that's a misconception, is that we only go to therapy when we're at crisis point, which a lot of us do. But sometimes it's just a way to get a deeper insight into who you are. And I can tell you, when I hit 30, I had absolutely no sense of who I was, what I believed in. I was starting to try and get it. But to get to the age of 30 and still not know yourself at all, I think that's something that more people relate to than they're willing to acknowledge.
Yeah.
And not having that sense of self. And that really helped me to gain that. It helped me to develop who I am as a person, but also who I am as a parent, which is really important, because I had no healthy blueprint to fall back on.
Yeah.
I had no pattern of, I want to do this. And quite often what we fall into the trap of doing as parents is saying, well, this was really unhealthy from my parents, so I'm going to swing like a pendulum to the complete opposite, which is where we see people who had really authoritarian parents who were very domineering, very controlling, will swing completely to very passive parents who will allow their kids to do whatever they want. And really what we want is something in the middle where we can say, okay, we're here to allow you to develop your own identity, to have your own freedom. But also we've got some boundaries that come in from that authoritarian side. So we're meeting in a happy middle. And it's really difficult not to swing the other way. If I had a penny for everyone in my community who says, well, I know how to parent because I just do the opposite of what my parents do.
Thinking that's the best way.
It's easy to look at, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not always. It is. And I think that's it, isn't it? When you grow up with a toxic parent, often one of two things happen. You do like that and go completely opposite way, or you fall into the same pattern as your parent without even realizing. I think a lot of the time that is what is happening.
Yeah, that happens so often. And I think I was at a real risk of doing that with my eldest child, something that I've talked about before in terms of how I acted as a parent when I first became a parent, because I thought my mum was so amazing, so wonderful. I followed a lot of the things that I thought I should do, and they never felt natural to me. And that's when those light bulbs started to ping on of, this doesn't feel right. And asking yourself, you know, does this feel right to me? Does this feel right in my body? Does this feel right for me emotionally? How am I feeling about this as a parent? Some alarm bells are ringing here. And I know this is what my parents did, but how do I want to do things differently? It can be really powerful.
Your gut's bloody powerful as well, isn't it? I was talking to my therapist about this the other day. I think I'm becoming more and more in tune with my gut now, because my gut feelings, goodness me, are strong in certain situations. And I'm like, I know something's not right here. I can feel it in my stomach. And I think it was when I found out that it was actually like scientifically connected, I was like, oh, that explains so much. Like, and you know, like when something doesn't feel right, sometimes people like need to go to the toilet because they've gone into like flight mode. So they need to like rid themselves of everything. And I'm like, that is incredible. That is strong. The body is bloody clever at what it does, isn't it?
Yeah, the body is absolutely, I mean, it's absolutely bonkers when you think about it. There's your autonomic system, which is like on your nervous system. That's what controls your fight, your flight, and your freeze and fawn responses. And so many of them are felt in the body. So people will describe feeling like a tightness around their throat when they want to speak out, but they can't. They'll have those feelings in your gut, like you say, that kind of tingling in your stomach, and your gut's kind of going, alarm bells.
Yeah.
And you think about it and you're like, that's just an old wives' tale, but it's not. It is scientifically proven. It's what you'd call somatic healing when we work on those feelings within the body. And that's so powerful, is sitting with those feelings. And something that I actually say to clients who are self-gaslighting and saying, I don't know if my childhood was that bad, or I don't know if this experience was that bad, or if my relationship with this person was that bad, or am I just dramatic? Am I just sensitive? Is when you think about that particular feeling and you think about that particular experience, where do you feel it and how does it feel? And so often what will come up, especially with fragmented memories, that can be quite powerful. So often is what will come up is that real feeling that you get of like wanting to go to the toilet, or of feeling panicky, or of the tightness around the chest. They're all big signs that something wasn't right.
Yeah, it's incredible. And one thing I will say about therapy as well is, I think it's very easy, if it gets hard, want to give up on it. Because I actually, do you know, I actually did this yesterday. I had therapy yesterday morning and I came home and it was a really, I wasn't expecting anything. I was like, I don't really know what I'm going to talk about in this therapy session. And I mean, the emotions were flooding. And I got home and I said to Danny later that evening, I was like, I don't feel like I want to go back now because I don't want to keep going and feel like this, because it's exhausting, and that's what I think people have to prepare themselves with. But actually, like, when you really think about it, it's super healing, and it's, nothing's ever easy, and it's going to take, like, it's going to take the big emotions for you to then kind of learn about yourself and, like, realize, you know, this is why I'm this way, and this is why I feel this way about certain things, and I can get triggered easily, and, you know, whatever. And it's hard, and it, you might not want to do it sometimes, but it's well worth it.
Yeah. People often go into therapy or into coaching and they think, I'm going to have a few sessions where I talk about the thing that's put me in crisis, and then that's going to get fixed and I'm going to feel amazing and so much better. And then they'll have that session where they go, I don't know what I'm going to talk about today because my crisis is kind of feeling a bit better. And they're the really powerful sessions. And they're often the ones that someone will go into it and say, I don't really know what I'm going to talk about. And then everything comes up.
Yeah.
And you come out of it feeling a million times worse. And you think, I don't know why I bothered.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
Yesterday.
Why did I do that? Like, yeah. And it's the weirdest thing because you think to yourself, I don't need therapy
anymore. I'm fine, yeah.
I'm healed. I've done this. I'm totally cool. Like, I'm sick. Yeah. Completed it. And then you go in with that session where you really don't know what you're going to talk about, and everything comes up. And that's so, so common. And therapy is hard work. It's a bit like going to the gym for your mind. Mm. Think of it that way.
Yeah. And you do feel tired, very tired after you've had therapy. Like, I was exhausted yesterday. I was like, I just feel like really emotionally drained. I need a nap.
Yeah. Yes. Good after therapy nap.
Yeah, after therapy nap. What I did want to ask you as well, with obviously, you know, making that decision to cut contact with your mum, how was it for the kids and how did you navigate that with your children?
Yeah, that is a big question, and it's a big one for so many people. So initially, we'd made the decision that we were not going to cut contact for the children, that the kids would be able to, you know, have some kind of relationship. And then my mum's behaviour towards them became really quite toxic, like sitting down with my then 5-year-old and saying, you need to help me look for a house because mummy's throwing me out.
This
kind of thing. So we were like, that's going to be a no.
Yeah.
So what we did was, we'd gone for a walk, and I remember the kids, kids will ask you the best questions, and they don't pull their punches. And I remember the kids saying to me, what's going on with Momo, is what they called her, not grandma. And I'd said to them, you know, okay, look, she's going to be moving out because that's what's best for all of us. And they'd said, well, are we going to be able to see her? And I'd said, I'll be completely honest with you, at this moment in time, I don't know. And what I made sure to do was to explain to them in a very child appropriate way what was happening, without bad mouthing. And I think that's one of the biggest key things, was her behavior is not very kind towards me at the minute. And I don't feel like I am particularly kind when I am around her. And that's not healthy for me. So I have to think about what's best for you guys and what's best for us as a family. And that's going to be to not have her in our lives at the moment.
That's an incredible way of saying it.
I mean, it beats saying, you know, she's awful.
Yeah.
She's horrible.
She's a bit of your grandma.
Yeah, she's just a bit of a dickhead.
Just a bit of a dickhead.
It was true. And it was fair and it was accurate, because I don't feel that my behaviour was great when I was around my mum either. I think I don't feel like I was able to be the best version of myself, because we're constantly defensive, constantly waiting for her to shout at me across the dinner table in front of the kids, or to have to challenge something because of her behaviour. And that's not a healthy way for anyone to live. And I want my children to understand that regardless of who someone is, you don't have to have them in your life. And something that a lot of people find a pushback with is, people will say, you're teaching your kids to cut off their parents and it will happen to you. And my response to that is, I'm teaching my kids to cut off toxic people. And if my behavior is toxic, they have every right to cut me off.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's going to be really hard, but that will be for me to work on myself and to be accountable for that.
Exactly, because you wouldn't want that to happen to the point where if anything like that happened, in your head, you could go, well, I need to change, which is where your mum didn't. So she didn't have...
No, there's no accountability.
No. Yeah. And that's where the
no ability for that.
No. The other thing I wanted to ask you, because where we grew up, and where you still live is a really small town. And our town, you know, everybody talks. That's what happens in small towns. Like, how did you deal with that as well? I've often wondered this, Harriet. Like, was there a lot of gossip? Like, did you see your mum all the time, like accidentally?
Yeah, not terribly often. Not terribly often, to be fair. I did have, in the very beginning, a few incidences of kind of people saying, oh, I saw your mum. And that's where your boundaries have to come in, of saying to somebody, oh, okay, well, I don't need you to tell me that.
Right.
I'm not really, you know, I'm not really interested. I hope that she's well. I'm not really interested in you telling me that, and put those boundaries in place.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm a big believer in putting boundaries in place. And yeah, there were the few odd comments. I remember going to collecting a takeaway once, and the person who worked behind the counter knew mum from having worked with her years ago, not like in a close relationship, but just in like a passing kind of, hi, how you doing? And she was, what you will find is that people who are in those positions suddenly become like a vehement champion of your parent, of you must get in touch with them, extend the olive branch. And I'm like, if you only knew. And I just sort of had to say, because every time I was going in to collect any kind of takeaway or just going to get my dinner, it would be, have you spoken to your mum? And in the end, I had to say to her, I haven't spoken to my mum, and I'm not going to be speaking to my mum next week when you ask me either. So I am going to ask you to not keep asking me, because it's really uncomfortable. And whilst I appreciate you might have the best intentions, I'm not here for that. And it's so awkward and uncomfortable. And I think people think that boundaries are quite scary, but setting boundaries is always going to be uncomfortable, but it's worth it for your own peace of mind. And clear, concise boundaries are the kindest thing that you can do with people. You know, you're letting them know where you can stand, where you stand, and how you want to interact with them. And if you want to save relationships and you want to be able to have healthy relationships, boundaries are the key to that.
That's such incredible advice, Harriet. And like, honestly, I think so many people listening will, because there's so many people that will be going through this, and people just don't talk about it because they're embarrassed or ashamed or think they are potentially wrong. And it's really important to be vocal about it and let people realise it's not uncommon and it's not wrong to feel a certain way about, you know, your parent or your auntie or uncle or grandma. We are going to have to wrap this up. But for people that would love to kind of learn more about you, you have a book.
I do. I have my first book, Mum In It, which is out now.
Yeah.
I have that one.
And
I also have the podcast.
Yes.
I do, which is Unfollowing Mum. So you can listen to that. And that is very specific to this topic. That is what this, you know, this is what kickstarted the whole thing. So there are lots of lived experiences on there, going across some really hard hitting topics. So do listen to it with care and kindness to yourself, because it can be quite heavy listen at times, but that's been a really healing community. I also have the Instagram page that goes alongside that, which is Unfollowing Mum. And then I have my pages, which at the minute are Toby and Rue.
Fabulous. Go give Harriet a follow, because honestly, her content is amazing. Even if you're not going through any kind of issues with family, it is still a cracking page to follow. Harriet, thank you so much. You've been incredible, and it's just been so informative and insightful listening to you today.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. Make sure to hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.